It's time for JT the Brick.
See, the key to good sports radio, not great, but good sports radio, is you don't have to force it. I don't want to come in here and force Raider content on days where there's no Raider content. What are we going to do? We're going to talk sports. All different types of sports, because we do a sports talk show. I mean, I'm dealing with insanity here. This guy's legit, but wow. Calm down. We're going to start talking sports. Did you hear what I said? I'm good.
JT the Brick.
We're providing content here every day with opinions. And I'm pretty strong with my opinions. I think you'd agree, and I stand by them. Mixing in the NBA, mixing in basketball and the Golden Knights. This has been the longest running show in the history of the Raiders. Nothing's close. You better be vocal today, everybody. I'm demanding greatness on the phones. Get your ass in gear today. I got my A game. There's never an off season in the Raider Nation. Got it? That's the show.
And now,
Fandemonium.
Here's JT the Brick.
JT with you as we get rolling here. Hope you're having a good day today. We're on the flagship of the Raiders, and we're talking sports with anybody who cares to listen. Thanks a lot for coming in. My podcast partner, Tom Looney, coming up here in a little bit. And then we have a really unique guest coming up that I'm excited to talk to. You know, I love when we have an opportunity to talk about the community and different things in the community that could help us become a better community. We're going to have Steve Gramis on. He's the president of the Metro Police Union. He's going to join us because the cops are playing the firemen in a charity football game, and it's a big deal over at Bishop Gorman. It's free. It's fantastic. The people that have went in the past love it, and we've been able to promote it, and we're going to help him talk about it coming up here. So if you're a police officer, firefighter, you're an emergency worker, whatever you do out there, we're going to have a nice conversation coming up about our community here at the bottom of the hour. Also, I'm a part of Coaches Versus Cancer that is coming up here pretty quickly as I work with Lon Kruger and Sean Farnham and others who come to town, DJ Allen, my buddy Jay Shipp, and we raise a lot of money for cancer awareness coming up. I lost my mentor, Andrew Ashwood, my former program director, one of my great friends. When he died of cancer, I was his chemo partner before he lost his life, and I wrote a book about it called The Handoff, which you can still get at Amazon.com. It's the proudest accomplishment of my media career is my book, The Handoff, and it's tied with Coaches Versus Cancer. So that's coming up this month, too, which I'm excited about. I just got an email in my email box. I looked on my phone that says, coming soon, it was from the Golden Knights, the 2024 NHL draft at the Sphere. So we're going to have the draft here at the Sphere. So I'm not going to mention what the ticket prices cost, but I think they're pretty fair. Everything at the Sphere is pretty expensive. I saw earlier today that the Zac Brown Band might be able to come in there. Negotiations are not going as well for Beyonce and Harry Styles. I'm surprised about Harry Styles because he's part of that booking company. I thought Harry Styles would be a lock to play there. But, Bobby, I just cannot believe that they built the Sphere, which is a marvel. It's a wonder of the world. I love it. Going to see Dead & Company on June 15th, and they can't book the place. They can't book the place. I mean, they had Fish for four nights, broke records. It was incredible. U2 was brilliant overall. And then most of the nights, it's dark in Vegas, where every night in Vegas is a concert or two or three or four. And the Sphere, and I love the Sphere, so I'm pro-Sphere. The issue becomes only a certain amount of bands can play there, because if you're not good enough, you can't play there. You'll get exposed. Mm-hmm. So you can't have Vince Neil play at the Sphere with his garbage voice. Mm-hmm. You can't have Axl Rose and Guns N' Roses play there. No, Axl can't do it. I mean, the theater is so brilliant that he'll be embarrassed. I think so. So there's only a handful of bands, Bobby, that are good enough to play there. So if you can't get Beyonce and you can't get Harry Styles, and I'm talking those are global brands that could sell out. I mean, you can't put Britney Spears at this stage at the Sphere. It's only the A-list, like the Eagles with their harmony could pull that off.
Exactly. That's the thing. The thing about the Sphere, it's not for a one-night show kind of thing. This is a place where you're going to go in and do a huge residency. I mean, U2 played for 5 months. Fish is coming again next year. They're going to make that a regular April thing. And the Dead, they'll just keep going as long as they can.
And as you know, you got to invest money into your show to play there.
It's
not like they're doing it. You got to invest in the video boards. You got to invest in the scope of the show. And a lot of bands can't afford to do that.
Exactly. Especially nowadays.
But come on, man. I mean, look, that thing was way over budget. Way over budget. And you can't make any money if the place is empty. The debt service that they have on that, Dolan has on that, and what's going on, that thing, it's not going to go out of business. They're not going to go into bankruptcy. No. But how many nights can they go there without having a concert?
But you got to remember, they also have that movie show they have there.
Yeah.
Now, the cheaper tickets for that is $50. The most expensive is $250, and they do four shows a night.
Yeah, I don't know if they do four a night.
Oh, yeah, they do. I've checked it out.
Well, either way, I haven't seen that yet. I want to go see big concerts. So I'm just surprised by that news today that some of the negotiations have fallen out. We'll get Tom Looney up here. Chris Matthews, the Dean of the Newsmen, he'll join us tomorrow at 12:30. He's going to come on the show. And we'll dive into what's happening. The big topic this week is the Raiders moving training camp to Santa Rosa. When the Raiders put out a press release, the Raiders have not put out a press release, so nothing's official until the Raiders are able to put that out. When they put that out, we'll know the exact dates. We'll know exactly what's going to happen here, and we'll get into that. Last night I did my podcast with this guy, my happy chatter companion, Tom Looney, who joins us again today. And Tom, I wanted to have you on. Do you have any fun facts on Costa Mesa, where I'll be seeing you a little bit this summer?
Well, Costa Mesa is an interesting city. First of all, they have a Mediterranean climate. I mean, the Raiders couldn't have a better weather to have summer sessions in unless they were in Milan. You know, Mediterranean climate. It is incredible. They do have, they're famous for having a mall, right? The South Coast Plaza, mall culture. So they opened up an anti-mall, which is a really cool place called The Lab, and it's a mall that's not like any other malls, so it has all stores you would never see in any other mall, and that's pretty cool. And another thing I think you'd really like, since we'll stick to sports, is if they were a country in the 2012 Olympics, people from Costa Mesa won 63 medals.
Really?
Isn't that amazing? If it was own country, it would have placed 63.
Yeah, you know, wow. I'm happy you said that, because I grew up a swimmer, and a lot of swimmers came from Costa Mesa in the Olympic Games. Volleyball players and water polo players, right? That made up a lot of those Olympians, correct?
Oh yeah, definitely, because you know it's a big surfer town, right? Water sports, and the weather is perfect for all of those sports, and you can practice. You know, a lot of times, too, you know, Florida kids, California kids can practice their sports year-round, especially with the weather in Orange County and Costa Mesa.
Well, Tom Looney, KABC, he got a big news job in Los Angeles. Another thing that I want to clear up here, because, you know, those trolls who call me a homer and I carry water for the Raiders, I tell them I carry the headband now for Gardner Minshew. I carry his headband as I go out there on the field, but what's the real story up to date as of today, May 9th, 2024, on the power of the Raider brand in Southern California? Because the Rams recently won a Super Bowl, and we know Jim Harbaugh is a celebrity. He lives in a Winnebago down by the beach, but there hasn't been many Charger fans spotted since the Chargers moved from San Diego.
Oh, well, there's nothing like a Raider game in Southern California. And the Rams, when the Rams host games, they have a home field advantage when they play the Arizona Cardinals, because the Arizona Cardinals don't have fans, let alone traveling fans. Otherwise, the stadium fills up with Cowboys fans or whomever they're playing. And with the Raiders are in town, Raiders Chargers or Raiders Rams, it's just all Raider fans. Yeah, it's definitely the number one team in Southern California, you know, much to the chagrin of the NFL, is the Raiders.
Yeah, it's very interesting. The Raiders this year, we haven't got the dates yet, but they play the Rams and they play the Chargers, obviously, at SoFi Stadium. So out of the 17 games, two of them are in Southern California for the Silver and Black. You also know New Orleans will have their camp in Southern California. The Cowboys are in Oxnard. Obviously, the Rams and the Chargers being there. So for a team that didn't have the NFL, Tom, for a long period of time, now the NFL looks like it's dying to get back to Southern California.
Yeah, and it really screwed itself over, and they're really smart to have a lot of their camps here, not only just because of the weather, but you know, a whole generation of kids from 1994 to the present had to pick other teams. San Francisco 49ers, you know, were winning. It's teams that were winning, but so many kids grew up with another surrogate favorite team because there was no team that had Los Angeles on the front of the jersey.
Tom Looney, KABC, my podcast partner. Download our brand new podcast at jtandlooney.com. And it's also on the Believe Podcast Network. The other thing I wanted to talk about is LeBron. We talked about this last night. Bill Russell was the head coach and player for the Celtics, one, the most accomplished champion in NBA history. And Pete Rose, my friend, was the manager for the Reds, and he was the manager player for the Reds. Is there any buzz in Los Angeles about LeBron doing that? Because J.J. Redick is the talk, and he's never coached a game. And I coach games for my kids at MJB here in Vegas. He hasn't even done that. I don't think he's ever coached a game. How could he be the coach of the Lakers?
I remember when you would enter the arena coaching your kids. Yes. And here comes sideline Saddam.
Yes, I would be very difficult. But I would always be more difficult on my kids than the other kids, which I know you respect.
Oh, of course. And I just made that up. But, it's a big buzz. And why wouldn't it be a legitimate buzz, and why would it be a surprise? This is somebody who has had unusual survival. This is Mozart, and we should enjoy it. We have Mozart in our lives. By 10 or 11 years old, knew how to play 18 instruments, as in Mozart, but then was composing amazing things for people around the world, sonnets. And here's LeBron James that by that age knew what he wanted to do. And then by the time he was in high school, he was in Sports Illustrated. We all knew who he was, and games were on ESPN. Then he did it without ever having a handcuff slapped on him, because athletes of all races, creeds, colors, and socioeconomic backgrounds do stupid things between 15 and 30, as does every boy. So, but LeBron didn't. So he's had great. Okay, I want to play in the city where I grew up. Okay, now I want to go to Miami and grow up away from mommy. Now I'm going to go back to my city and win a championship. Now I'm going to go to L.A. and Hollywood and produce stuff and win a championship there. Check, 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 check. And I'm sure he had sports goals too, like being the greatest scorer ever, and he plays like Magic Johnson. Enjoy him. And now if he wants to be a coach, he'll be the coach.
Tom Looney, KBC in LA. The only problem I see with this is when Bill Russell and Pete Rose were managing and coaching, there was no social media. So after LeBron plays in these games, because he's so good, and he ends up playing 38 minutes, and then he goes and sits in front of the press with a towel on as a player, he's got to go sit like Steve Kerr if he's the coach and do 20 minutes at the dais and then do his stuff as a player there, and then the social media everywhere. And the bigger thing, I think we both don't think LeBron's going to be the head coach.
First of all, before you keep going, that's a great point, because Pete Rose and Bill Russell had much less a chance to say something stupid. And if they did, it wouldn't go viral. And say something inappropriate, say something they shouldn't have said while they were hot and bothered. And, so that's obviously could make it tougher for LeBron, absolutely.
Looney's our guest. Check out the podcast, JT and Looney, wherever you download your podcast. One more thing on Ipe and Ohtani. And there's starting to be some ties to Vegas and maybe a casino here or two. I don't think this is going away. I think that Ipe just settled or took a deal or whatever it is. You're in Los Angeles at KABC. It's a big news story, and it kind of went away, kind of like the Gruden emails have gone away, and it's the biggest story in the NFL that no one wants to talk about, and it's the biggest story, the John Gruden emails and what's going to happen in the Nevada State Supreme Court. Does your gut tell you that Ohtani is now free, or is this federal investigation going to pick up some steam here and maybe something could be tied together? What's the buzz on the ground in L.A. and La La Land?
Well, I think a lot. It's really strange. There's not a lot of buzz because people don't want to lose their credentials or their good seats.
Yes.
right. And the Dodger Station is also owned 49% by the Los Angeles Dodgers. So they're an investor in their own. Their own flagship. So their flagship doesn't talk about it. It's like it doesn't exist. There's not a lot of coverage, and that's why the one thing the sports leagues do is, let's get on Netflix, like the NFL. Hey, let's get a Netflix deal. They want to get on every platform, so no platforms investigate them.
I'm going to see 80-year-old Mick Jagger on Saturday night. On the way out, can you explain to everyone why Mick Jagger's still in such great shape at 80?
Not only why he's in great shape, but why maybe the greatest commander of a stage you will ever see in your life. And he was doing that at 30, and now he's 80. And one of the reasons he does, yes, cardio. We have to keep moving. We have to move like Jagger. And that's why he's 80 and doing so well. And another reason why he's so healthy, he's doing what he wants for a living. do what you want for a living. Don't get caught up. We've all been groomed to work 9 to 5 Monday through Friday and mow our lawns on the weekends. Don't do it.
Thanks for talking to me today. I'm obviously in the Raider off season. Thanks for picking up your phone.
Sure.
Take care. There he is, Tom Looney, the Batcave to the rescue. Looney coming in on LeBron James and the Raiders going to Costa Mesa with a couple of Looney fun facts. If any Raider Nation in Southern California, we have a nice audience that we are able to see that streams the show in Southern California. So the Raider Nation is coming, as it all looks, as they're dotting I's and crossing T's to Costa Mesa, California, where I go every summer, Bobby, to fill in for Jim Rome. Jim Rome goes on a big vacation every summer and asks me to fill in for a couple of days, so maybe I can do some double dipping. But I'm looking forward to my Raider responsibilities and some weather there, and hopefully the weather will be better, you know, because it could rain, it could be a wildfire somewhere, but it's going to be better than being outdoors at 7 in the morning before it gets super hot in Henderson, Nevada. Speaking of Henderson, Nevada, all the way up to Summerlin, if you've been to Bishop Gorman, you understand they have a beautiful football facility. They've won several undisputed national championships. Well, that's where we're going to see an unbelievable football game coming up between the cops and the firemen. I love this. I love when we can talk about something so cool in a community that makes so much sense. The president of the Metro Union is going to join us, a police officer coming up here at the bottom of the hour. If you're a police officer or a fireman or an emergency worker here in town, I'd like you to be a part of that. It's going to be on Saturday night. We'll have all the other details coming up here. Bobby, we didn't mention a lot about the Golden Knights, but I went to get some water in between segments here and was talking to one of our guys on the night station. What's the buzz been like since they've been eliminated? It's all on to who's going to be back. Wild Bill, Marchessault. Are they going to get rid of one of the two goalies? Yes. Are they going to get another goalie? What about Stone, who's under contract? What about staying in or getting out of that Petrangelo contract? There's a lot of players that were signed to extensions, good players who are here, but our Vegas Golden Knights didn't get out of the first round. They made it worthy. They went to the seventh game in the first round. Do you got that Vancouver goal from last night as they were down 3 goals? I thought we were better than Vancouver. Come on. We're better than Vancouver. We're eliminated. Vancouver was down 3 goals and won this way.
Zadora passes to center for Joshua. Drops to Garland with speed. Right wing. Into the other zone. Takes a shot. He scores! Are you kidding me? Connor Garland with a complete fake out of Stuart Skinner gives the Canucks the lead for the first time today.
Canucks radio. They were down, I think, 4-1, and they came back and won that game in Vancouver. That is a tremendous hockey win, and that could have been us. It could have been us up there playing, but Vegas is eliminated from hockey. There are going to be a lot of changes here, rightfully so. Whenever a team loses in the first round, with a lot of veteran players after winning the Stanley Cup the year before, changes will be made, and Kelly McCrimmon will make those changes, and Mr. Foley always wants to win. He always wants a winning product out there, so I'm sure they'll retool and come back in a big way.
I can tell you one thing for certain. I guarantee that they're going after a new free agent goaltender.
Yeah, you've been saying
absolutely
that. They're going to go goaltending there. We'll dive into that topic with Gary Lawless in the offseason. When we come back, we'll talk police versus firemen in football, real tackle football, over at Bishop Gorman. And the topic that I opened up the show with about an hour and 20 minutes ago, are you a fan of getting out of Henderson and going anywhere to play during training camp? Do you believe it'll bring more discipline, more team bonding, or can you care less? You'd rather be have the players at home in their own bed. I think it's great that they're getting out of Henderson for a couple of weeks. I think it'll make the football team better and more focused. What do you think on that topic? 702-365-9200. JT in Vegas.
O'Connell under center, Zamir White, the tailback, gets the handoff, trying the left side, touchdown Raiders! Zamir White bulldozes his way in for his first career touchdown, and the Raiders take an opening drive score. It's 6-0 with 8:10 to go in the first.
Yeah, a lot of Jason Horowitz today, huh? Love that. Zamir White, I got to assume he's going to have a big year. I got to assume he's going to have a big year. He's got to have a big year, and he's going to count on it because Josh Jacobs is now a Green Bay Packer. Breaking news in the NBA, according to Adrian Wojnarowski, the Phoenix Suns have fired head coach Frank Vogel. The Suns, who won 49 regular season games with the league's third highest payroll in Dax, was swept in the opening round series to the Timberwolves. Mike Budenholzer will be the prominent part of the search. The regurgitation of the middle-aged white guy again. Just fire Mike Budenholzer, fire Frank Vogel, let him sit out a year, hire him again. We've run out of coaches. We have no more coaches left. We've run out in the NBA. There are no more coaches left. That's where we stand. Frank Vogel recently won a title with the Lakers. With LeBron James and Anthony Davis, he's been fired twice since. Been fired twice. And he had, you look who he had, Bobby. He had Kevin Durant. He had Anthony Davis, LeBron James, Bradley Beal, Devin Booker. He's been fired twice. It's incredible. Like, you're an NBA coach. You got no chance. And Greg Popovich went 22-60, and the year before had the worst record in all the NBA. So back-to-back years, Greg Popovich can't win a game, and he gets contract extensions and wine dinners and parties, and everyone loves Pop.
But, you know, going back to the Lakers, you know what the problem is? Nobody's going to say anything about Rob Pelinka.
No one's going to say anything about Pelinka.
Every year it's the same thing. They don't. They fall short. They blame the coach. They never say a word about Pelinka.
Well, the coaches get fired in sports, man. When you don't win in sports, and especially hockey, hockey's the toughest job of all. Hey, I mentioned Stephon Gilmore earlier in the show. I think he's probably the best option for the Raiders at cornerback if they still want to go. Miles Simon, who a lot of people know in Raider Nation, wrote a pretty good column on him. While the Panthers of Carolina signaled that they would revisit potentially signing cornerback Stephon Gilmore after the draft, word emerged earlier this week that there's been no progress between the two sides. That means Gilmore, who's 33, is still readily available and starting all 17 games. After starting all 17 games for the Dallas Cowboys. Hey, everybody, we're not talking about a guy who didn't play. We're not talking about a guy who only played a couple of games here. We're talking about a guy who played all 17 games on one of the best teams out there. Quote, I'm still focused on playing, but it has to be the right opportunity. Gilmore said in a phone conversation, I feel like it's the age thing with some of these teams. If I were 28, I'd already have been signed by now. At the same time, I know how much value I bring. So I think this is going to be an interesting topic going forward. Very interesting topic. He says, if you watch the tape, I feel like I'm playing well the last 2 years and literally almost played every snap last year. It'll be very interesting to see how this turns out and if he's on the radar for the Raiders. Antonio is in Modesto on the Raider flagship. What's happening?
JT, good to always hear your voice, man.
Thank
hey,
you.
I'm locked in on this New York Knickerbockers. I mean, how can you not like your... You guys, I say you guys, you New York fans, just going bonkers seeing Strawberry or Strayfall Marbury going crazy on the sideline over there and Spike Lee and the Garden just going crazy. I get a kick out of it. Excited to see a Boston-New York Knicks matchup. I see Boston just running through Cleveland.
The only problem I see with that is the Knicks are running on fumes. They're running on fumes. And if Boston wins in four games and the Knicks have to go to six, even five or six games, I don't know if the Knicks are going to have the depth. They have no depth. They don't go to their bench. They only play seven or eight guys a night. I love the Knicks. I think they can hang in there because they play a bully ball style of play. They're very physical, intimidating. But, man, I'm a fan, and it looks like they're running out of gas, really running out of gas quickly here.
I agree with you. But I still see in the Garden the Knicks fans going crazy, carrying them, maybe going getting too – you know, maybe that series going six games, but hey, well, I want to get your thoughts real quick too on that Jamal Murray $100,000 fine. I honestly thought, and I hate everything about Denver. I hate the Broncos.
Sure.
I hate the Nuggets. I hate the Avalanche. I hate the Rockies. And I'm not a big Bronco. I mean, I love the Joker, but
right.
I thought Jamal should have got a game. That would have been more than $100,000. That would have been a game check. What were your thoughts?
I think he should have got a game. Thanks for the call. I think most people thought the league doesn't want to take away one of the best players, if not the best player in the series. It's obviously Joker, who's the MVP. But they want to have some balance, and there's TV advertisers, and there's revenue, and there's a lot of commercials, and they don't want that series to end in a sweep. I understand why they fined him, but I would have kicked him out for at least a game. Steve Graham is kind enough to join us, the president of the Metro Police Union, as we get a chance once again to talk about the Police versus Fire charity football game, which is this Saturday, May 11th. Kickoff is at 7 p.m. at Bishop Gorman. Steve, great to talk to you. Thanks for joining us. I'm really happy about this, and I'm sure you're thrilled to have it again.
Absolutely. Really appreciate you shining a spotlight on the game and our first responders that are really busting their butts to get ready for this game for all the fans and citizens in the city. So thank you so much, buddy.
Yeah, tell us about the quality of play, because we know Bishop Gorman's won national championship. The Raiders, UNLV are here. UNLV had a good year, but when we talk about the Police and the firefighters going at it, and I've seen you do a couple of appearances on TV in town here, this is a real football game. Both sides really want to win this game and impress one another.
Yeah, so, you know, this was kind of a restart from the 70s and 80s. We played our first game 2 years ago. We absolutely murdered the firemen 34-0. Last year, I gave specific instruction to our players that they are going to throw this game. And they looked at me puzzled, and I said, listen, the rubber match is where it's at. And so if we don't lose, they are not going to come back and play us. So we played the first half. We actually scored a touchdown. I threw two players off the team at halftime for scoring that touchdown. And then we let the firemen win so that we could have a great year.
Wow.
This year is going to be the greatest of them all, between our VIP room, the lounge that we have there, the game itself, free entry. We're going to have face painters there, photo opportunities. But the play of game, these guys, my guys, have been practicing 4 times a week since February.
Wow.
Weight training, conditioning, practice. These guys are ready, and you're going to see a similar result to year one.
Yeah, I was turned on by this in New York, where I'm from originally, when the Police would play the firemen at Giant Stadium and the rivalries. They'd fill up the lower bowl, and it was a big deal. Larger population, obviously, but this has picked up a lot of steam here because admission is free, but you got those VIP tickets, $250, food, drink, swag bag. You get to meet, and you have a lot of other access there. It's not a lot of money. It goes to a great cause, so we want to make sure people buy the $250 package, but for all the kids that are here in town, and Steve, you know me, I often talk about this. This is the type of event where a dad or a mom in a neighborhood should fill up the minivan, fill up the cars, and take the kids for free so they can watch this and learn about what it's like to be a police officer, a firefighter, emergency services, and learn at a very young age how proud the individuals are and many of these kids look up to.
No doubt about it. First and foremost, we've actually reduced the price of that VIP ticket.
Okay.
The swag bag alone is worth $200. The ticket now is only $150, same as it was last year.
Okay.
So, yeah, to your point, man, it's going to be a great time. But when we talk about having folks to look up to, you know, when crisis hits, and as much as we're going to do battle on Saturday on that field, there's no better group of men and women working together to protect our community, to help our community, than our police and our fire department. And if you wanted a role model for your son or your daughter to look up to, you come out to that game and you'll see them, because they're going to go to war on the field. But then when it's over, they realize tomorrow we could be having another 1 October incident or UNLV shooting, that we need to band together and do what we need to do to help keep people safe and healthy. And so it is an absolutely great opportunity for the community to come out and enjoy a good football game with their heroes on the football field.
Steve Graham is kind enough to join us, the president of the Metro Police Union, as we're getting ready for this charity football game, Police vs. Fire. It's the 2024 version. It's called the George Maloof 2024. I know George really well and the Maloof family here. Steve, I wanted to ask you about being a cop and how important that is, because I've always been pro-police. Because I grew up and my friends who I went to high school with, several of them became police officers. And now they're retired and they're still helping out in the community. And they put their life on the line every day that they went to work. And I always said, if you don't respect our cops and our fire department, how could you not? You get on a police motorcycle, you get in a cruiser, you walk into harm's way, there's a domestic issue, you got to run upstairs into a casino, you don't know what's waiting for you there. These are our heroes here, and I just think it's really important that a game like this can kind of shine the light on the aftermath of some people that want to get to know a cop, but they haven't been able to. And I'm not talking firemen. I'm talking a police officer where after the game, when I've seen this, the police officers sign autographs, they take pictures, they have a good time. I think that's very important in building a vibrant community.
You know, it really is. We've seen throughout the years that police department's only as good as the trust its community has in it. And our community in Las Vegas is second to none. They support us and they're behind us, in my opinion, like nowhere else. Mm-hmm. To your point, wearing a vest, a bulletproof vest, carrying a gun to go and protect others and maybe lay down your life for someone you've never met in your life, but willing to do that on a daily basis is the true definition to me of a hero. And, you know, to your friends that made it through a long and arduous career and are able to now enjoy being a little bit away from that job, but it truly is a calling. You know, when I graduated high school, I joined the police department immediately, and it was a calling. My father was a police officer here. He was a police officer in New York. My brother's a police officer retired. My brother-in-law is a retired police sergeant. My nephew is a police officer. I mean, it is in our blood, and it is just something that calls you to do it, to serve others and put them in front of yourself. And, you know, when the wolves want to prey on the innocent people, we are the ones that step in between the two and keep them safe. And so, to your point, after that game, being able to go up and take get an autograph from one of those officers slash players is amazing.
Steve Grammas, as we wrap it up, kind enough to join us, the president of the Metro Police Union. It's Police vs. Fire, the charity football game. Bishop Gorman coming up here Saturday night, May 11th, kickoff 7 p.m. Get there earlier. There's so many festivities. Steve, how quickly can someone become a police officer? You talked about coming out of high school. Is it fair for me to say that some get college degrees and then become police officers? What is it like? We have a lot of listeners here all over the country who are listening, and some might be intimidated saying, I don't know what I need to do. I don't know what my past has done. Can I get the job? Can I get into the academy? How tough is it to get into the police academy? Walk me through how a young 17, 18, 19, 22-year-old guy or gal who's listening to the show can become a police officer.
So, you know, to start, where I started right out of high school was a program that Metro has recently brought back, the cadet program. It's a full-time, full-paying position. You're not, you don't do the things an officer does, but you do go out in the community, you take reports, you help people impound property, you do a lot of learning. And then when you become 21, you go right into police. So if you're interested in starting before, I think when I started, I made like $15,000 a year. These kids now, I think, are making $45,000 walking in the door at 18 years old. Outside of that, we are one of the few departments in the country that does not require a college degree.
Okay.
So if you have a high school diploma or a GED, you are allowed to apply. And, of course, we have a stringent background process. But if you can make it through that, our police academy is roughly 25 to 27 weeks. Then you go through about 4 months of field training before you're actually a full-fledged officer. So it's almost a year of training before you actually hit the streets. But once you do, it's just an amazing feeling.
All right, Steve, I just tweeted this out, and I want to make sure you tell us on the way out how everybody can get tickets for this Saturday night for Police vs. Fire.
So like we said, if you just want to come to the game, free tickets, just come out and show up. We will be having Pink Box Donuts, giving away free donuts outside, of course, on the police side, no pun intended. but for tickets to the VIP, if you go to our website, lvppa.com, the main banner will be the game banner. You click on that. In there, it'll tell you to purchase tickets, and you can get your tickets to the amazing VIP. It's going to be a great time.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate you coming on. Let's do this more often. Really appreciate your time.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much. Take care.
You got it. Steve Grammas, the president of Metro Police Union, joining us. Please go support this event. And if you're listening for the first time here in Vegas and you've never been to Bishop Gorman High School, you've never been to Fertitta Field, how beautiful that complex is. It's fantastic. The weather's going to be great. 7 o'clock at night, the sun setting at the Red Rock Mountains, and to watch the police and firefighters play a football game, which is a pretty dramatic game. This is real football, tackle football. They're both trying to win. You know, as I said earlier before Steve came, or when he came on, A lot of my buddies were cops and firemen. They just were. You know, growing up in Long Island, New York, you know, I graduated. I became a stockbroker. A couple of my buddies went to the academy. And I always worried about them. I mean, two of my best friends were police officers in Manhattan, New York City. And they did it for 30 years. And they had to take, they had some rough shifts in their career. And, you know, I had a buddy of mine who was there on 9/11. And luckily was there after the fact, but was there for months afterwards in regards to rescue and recovery, which turned out to be recovery. And fortunately doesn't have health issues. Is one of my best friends. So I, JT the Brick, I'm pro cop. I'm pro fireman. I'm pro cop. I always will support our police. When police make mistakes and there are bad cops or bad individuals, obviously they need to be held accountable to the fullest extent of the law. These people are heroes. They put their lives on the line. They go out there every night not knowing if they're coming home with partners and kids. And as he just said there, you know, they try to keep the bad away from the good. So I appreciate that, and I hope you can make it out there. And go support a charity in town here. And if you do have a charity or something else that I can help you with my radio broadcast, please let me know. Because Teo Johnson, who's a great friend of ours, M-Ride, and Teo played tight end for the Raiders. He's a part of this, too, and he's one of the best people I know. And Teo's involved with this because it makes a difference. So go get tickets. I just tweeted it out at JT The Brick. You can click on the link. Or just go for free. You know, bring a couple kids in the neighborhood and teach them and point. Well, that's the firemen over there. Those are the guys that run towards the fire. Those are the police over there. Those are the ones who protect us. And then go watch them play football. I think it is a tremendous idea. And congrats to George Maloof for having his name all over this still. 702-365-9200. I broke my word count today, Bobby. I think we have one call, maybe two, no guest. I have broke my word count. I might have broke my all-time two-hour record for words spoken. Let's see if I'll do it till the top of the hour. 702-365-9200. Should I get on the Stephon Gilmore train? God, I love me a veteran cornerback who's won a Super Bowl and can still play. God, I love that. I like guys who are proven. But I also love young players who get a chance and can play. This is going to be an interesting guy to keep an eye on here. A couple corners still available. Are the Raiders in the market for one? We're brought to you by Modelo. The Fighting Spirit and my Buck and the Modellos coming up on Friday.
Clock ticks down. Precious Achiuwa will dribble it out. And the Knicks take a 2-0 lead, pulling out a 130-121 victory over the Indiana Pacers.
My Knicks. Yes, I'm a Knicks fan. Love the Knicks. How about that? Rolling Stones are playing Saturday night. A big show at the Bowl tomorrow night. Denson. Oh, I'm looking forward to this. Carl Denson and the Tiny Universe with my friend Chuck Lavelle. How about that? At the Brooklyn Bowl. Maybe I'd go to that on a Friday night here. That's a nice setup. Looking forward to that. Live music is what I like. Other than sports and sports radio, I love live music, and there's always great live music in this town. Let's get out to Mitch. He's in Sacramento on the Raiders mobile app. Hello, Mitch.
What's up, JT? I was calling because I heard you saying you were getting over your word count. No one's calling. I was like, you know,
yeah, it's quiet. It's been quiet, man. Everybody's been letting me down lately, man. I need to have one of those seven person shows, man. I need to have those seven person shows like others, man. I wouldn't need a call, but I never need calls. But I'm happy you called. What do you got?
I'm gonna make up for it. Hey, man. Look, I love that you're a Knicks fan. When I grew up, I liked Carmelo Anthony, and I loved watching the Knicks as a kid. And then I moved to the Bay and went to my first Warriors experience and just was Warriors ever since then. I really just wanted to call and kind of give you some life, man, because I need to hear somebody echo this out before the show ends. And I just wanted to call and do this one time. Raiders! I need football. Thank you, JP.
Yeah, I need football too, but I like the offseason. I do like the offseason because we work a 6-day a week, full day on Sunday to 11 o'clock Sunday night, and 5 days a week here. And Q does like 2 or 3 or 4 shows now on top of programming. We enjoy the offseason, and there can't be an offseason on an NFL flagship. You can have an offseason on a sports talk show or another sports talk show. There's only 32. I don't even know if there's 32 flagships. Maybe there's a team that doesn't even have a flagship. I mean, look at the Oakland A's and what they're doing. They don't have a station. They're streaming, whatever they do. So when you have an NFL flagship, you have a responsibility to the fans of that. And fortunately, we have a national show because we're on the Raiders mobile app and lbsportsnetwork.com. So you can listen to the show anywhere and everywhere you want, which is really important to me because, as I told Bobby at this stage in my career, I could never do a show in Vegas. I could never do a radio show that was just on in Vegas. Never. Never done the boat sailed on that. I need to know every day that I come in here that a Raider fans are listening in Fort Lauderdale, in South Beach. They're listening in New Jersey. They're in the Bay Area in L.A. I've been on the radio in Vegas since 1996. I'm over that. I love Vegas. I love this radio station. We bring in a lot of money. I want to be on nationally via my local show, and that's why the Raiders have done an amazing thing for us, giving us that mobile app. It's that cool. It's that amazing. So I'm pumped up. And that's what motivates me every day, man. Again, I'm happy that people listen from Henderson to Summerlin. But that call just came in from Sacramento. And if I was just on in Vegas, I'd lose my bleeping mind knowing that people in Sacramento couldn't hear me at noon. After doing this 27 years, if I didn't know that a person in Sacramento could hear my voice, I'd lose my mind. And it's just the opposite. I love what's happening. Hey, Jaden Daniels is, this is a big story because we all wanted Jaden Daniels. I did. I wanted Jaden Daniels. He made a $10,000 bet with Malik Nabers ahead of this rookie season. And the symposium started today for the rookies. They're going to crush this. So the league's going to say you can't do this and you can't put it out there and people can't know on podcasts that you're betting amongst each other. So the Commanders got to Jaden Daniels first. And we weren't going to get him because it was probably going to be four first-round picks. But we find out now that he has a bet with the player that was taken at number six as the New York Giants took his teammate Malik Nabers. The two formed a really good friendship in Baton Rouge, but now they're going to be opponents. And they placed a bet, he and Nabers, $10,000 on who would be the Offensive Rookie of the Year. All I'm going to say, and Ari Mirov is coming up next. I saw Q tweet out his show, so this will be interesting to hear what Ari and Q talk about coming up. Don't miss that. But you can't do that, okay? You can't let the boss know, Roger Goodell, that you're placing bets amongst each other, okay? There's no, I'll leave you on this line. It's the perfect way to wrap up the show. If you're a professional athlete, do not bet your entire career until you retire. Do not place one bet. Don't tell me you can handle it and you can do it. Oh, man, I can go play poker in the offseason on a cruise ship. Don't. Don't. There's no need to. You're making millions of dollars. A, if you gamble, you're going to lose. You're going to lose. Ask Charles Barkley. And B, if you're tempted to gamble, knowing you're not supposed to, eventually they will catch you. Or it will break up something in your life, like your job, your team, and your family. So I'm happy this story came out today because I bet you the league office was just cracking up. Going, oh, my God, give me phone. Come here, calling in the assistant. Give me some phone numbers, please. Give me the phone numbers of these two kids. We have the symposium starting today on Thursday. Can we talk to them, please? And it'd be a pretty good bet because Malik Nabers is going to play for Daniel Jones. And Daniel Jones, this is it for him. So he's going to be throwing the ball up. Brian Daboll might get fired if they don't win. I think the Giants have the same win total as the Raiders. I believe that. Giants have a 6.5 win total, too. Hey, tomorrow I'm going to dive into that a little bit longer. I'm going to go team by team on every team in the NFL and their season win total and give you my opinion on every team. Because when I saw that today at FanDuel, I was doing some yard work all this morning, and I came in, I looked for some topics for the show. Because you can't turn on TV and look for topics. It's all LeBron. All it is LeBron and two guys screaming at each other about LeBron. And I saw that story about the FanDuel win totals, and I said there's only three teams in the NFL that have a lower win total than 6.5. Only three. God, if Antonio Pierce doesn't put that on the bulletin board first day of camp and say, this is what Vegas thinks, and we're in Vegas, this is what the Vegas casinos think of you guys as you start the year off, probably won't use it, but I would, because it's just a slap in the face. The Raiders should have a very good year this year. The team is much improved. Much improved, but I can't get that point across because everybody wants Patrick Mahomes to be the quarterback. Everyone wants Joe Burrow. I can't bring Joe Burrow or Jaden Daniels in. We got to see who's going to fight it out between Gardner Minshew and Aiden O'Connell. As I said, Q's coming up next. Thanks to Looney. Thanks to our friends from Police Metro, Steve Grammas, who came on. Really appreciate that. The Dean of the Newsmen tomorrow, the great Chris Matthews, will join us at 12:30 Pacific. And a big show lined up there. Rolling Stones coming up. Sure, there's some tickets still to be given away here at Lotus. Get your hands on those. And maybe I'll see you up close, which I always am up close. Have a great rest of the night here on Raider Nation Radio with Q. And I will see you back here tomorrow. Thank you, Bobby, as always. YouTube, it's growing, and it's growing cool. I'm really happy with the growth of our YouTube platform. JT the Brick YT put up a brand new rant last night for the first time. Something new I tried. Love you to check it out. Have a great rest of the day, everyone.
Appreciate it. Thank you, guys.